One of the reasons all of these phenomena are a mystery to the West is because we don't really have a framework within which to place this kind of information. We don't have the context. 1,700 years ago, key elements of our ancient heritage were lost. They were relegated to the esoteric traditions of mystery schools and sacred orders. At least 25 books were taken from what was later to become our biblical texts by a recommendation from the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. The implications of this act, this point in time, are vast. At very best, our view of our world, our interpretation of history, and our potential role in our world is incomplete without these texts to provide that context. And I ask the question often now, bearing this in mind, is it possible that the very basis of our society and our culture, our language, our science, technology, our religious traditions, even the way we love one another in our interpersonal relationships, is it possible that they're based on an incomplete understanding of our most sacred heritage and our most sacred history? There are many researchers and scholars now that believe the answer to this is yes. So we consider this possibility. Up until 1700 years ago, we were much clearer of our role in history and our relationship to the creative forces of our world and the cosmos. And it's interesting because as we witness our lives and our history today, even through the incomplete context and framework, we've built this culture and this society and the language and the science and the religion, and it has worked very well. It's served us and it's pushed us onto a path that has led us to this point in this moment. So the changing of these texts, I believe it transcends being good, bad, right, or wrong. It simply was a path, and we're now living the outcome of that path. It brought us to the point where we are today, and now we're inviting this information back into our culture, into our memory, into our science, in the hopes of building an even more complete understanding of our world and our relationship to our world, and from that to pivot forward into this new experience that we call the new millennium. So the original wisdom of these traditions is what we'll address for the next portion of our program here. Unfortunately, these texts are not contained in a single, concise, neat volume in one place where we can say, this is where you go to find this information. It is strewn through cultures and interpretations and translations ranging from the Dead Sea Scrolls to the Nag Hammadi library of Gnostic texts. And the story behind the discovery is actually very interesting. There was a young boy was out looking for firewood, which is scarce and in short supply in Egypt. And he came upon a tomb. And in the tomb was a library of documents. Some of them were actually books. He began taking those back to his house and used them as kindling for months until some of these documents made it into the Cairo Museum. And they were excavated, recovered in what we now call the Nag Hammadi Library. In the Qumran area in the Dead Sea, another discovery was made inside of earthen vessels secured in caves above sea level. These became known as the Dead Sea Scrolls and are attributed now to a group of communities that we now call the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. We first see evidence of the Essenes about 500 years before the birth of Christ, 2,500 years ago. And what we find are references in the ancient literature, in the Roman and Egyptian literature, of these communities that developed around individuals who chose to live very close to the earth, be self-sufficient, and honor the cycles and the rhythms and the creative forces as they perceive them in their world. They couldn't do that living in the cities of that time, so they chose to create their own communities where they could honor these traditions. And from their own accounts, the traditions of the Essenes came from even earlier traditions with their roots in Egypt, which came from earlier traditions of a civilization that predates Egypt. now. So we find the elements and the threads of the Essene traditions back as far as Babylonia and Sumeria. So it appears there was this common wisdom, this knowledge that's been with us for a long time, up to the time, 2,500 years ago, where the Essenes settled in the Dead Sea in the Qumran area. They were also meticulous record keepers, and for that reason, we are now understanding more about them as we're recovering their texts. After the time of Christ, the Essenes dispersed from their focus communities, and we now have records that they scattered across the face of the earth. We find records of the Essene communities moving into the jungles of Bolivia and Peru and South America, into the Himalayan highlands in Nepal, Tibet, into India. And now recent records are even showing they came and walked the Americas, both North and South America, and Native American, North and South American traditions actually speak of, reference, and identify Essene traditions as being the roots of many of the native concepts of compassion and peace and forgiveness and blessing. There are these common threads. It's very interesting because if the research bears out this common thread between and among all these traditions, there's a possibility that we've all been speaking from the same page of the same book interpreted in different ways for over 2,000 years now. And the implications of that are vast as well.